transportation in economic change. The media have undertaken a similar reconsideration. Since the late 1980s, commentators have filled columns and airwaves with glib chatter about globalization, as if it were merely a matter of bits and bytes and corporate cost-cutting. Since The Box appeared, however, many news stories and articles have acknowledged that, digital communication notwithstanding, the integration of the world economy depends less on call centers and trans-Pacific exports of technical services than on the ability to move goods cheaply from here to there. The Box, I hope, has contributed to public understanding that inadequate port, road, and rail infrastructure can cause economic harm by raising the cost of moving freight. Many aspects of the response to The Box were startling, but perhaps the most unexpected concerns a widespread stereotype about innovation. In his later years, Malcolm McLean, the former trucker whose audacious scheme to create the first container ship line is recounted in Chapter 3, was frequently asked how he came up with the idea of the container. He responded with a tale about how, after spending hours in late 1937 queuing at a Jersey City pier to unload his truck, he realized that it would be quicker simply to hoist the entire truck body on board. From this incident, we are meant to believe, came his decision 18 years later to buy a war surplus tanker and equip it to carry 33-foot-long containers. The story of this aha moment does not appear in The Box, because I believe the event never occurred. There is certainly no contemporaneous evidence for it. I suspect that the story of McLean's stroke of genius took on a life of its own, as, decades later, well-meaning people asked McLean where the container came from. As I show in Chapter 2, ship lines and railroads had been experimenting with containers for half a century before Malcolm McLean's trip to Jersey City, and containers were already in wide use in North America and Europe when McLean's first ship set sail in 1956. Malcolm McLean's real contribution to the development of containerization, in my view, had to do not with a metal box or a ship, but with a managerial insight. McLean understood that transport companies' true business was moving freight rather than operating ships or trains. That understanding helped his version of containerization succeed where so many others had failed. To my consternation, though, I quickly learned that many people quite fancy the tale of McLean's dockside epiphany. The idea of a single moment of inspiration, of the apple landing on young Isaac Newton's head, stirs the soul, even if it turns out to be apocryphal. In contrast, the idea that innovation occurs in fits and starts, with one person adapting a concept already in use and another figuring out how to make profit from it, has little appeal. The world likes heroes. Even if the worshipful story of one person's heroic effort is rarely an accurate representation of the complex path of technological advance. How innovation really works is certainly one of the lessons of The Box. But for me, there is another that looms even larger. The role of unintended consequences. Economists, myself included, are in the business of predicting events. We like to think that we can analyze what has happened and draw insight into what will occur in the days to come. Business school students take a similar approach, learning to apply quantitative analysis to historical data in order to draw conclusions about the future. In the business world, this way of looking at the world through a spreadsheet is treated as modern management thinking. It's the bread and butter of some of the world's most famous and expensive consulting firms. The story of containerization attests to the limits of this sort of rational analysis, for the developments recounted in The Box turned out not at all as expected. Containerization, after all, began as a means of shaving a few dollars off the cost of sending Malcolm McLean's trucks between New York and North Carolina. At best, it was regarded as a minor innovation, an expedient, as one leading naval architect opined in 1958. Perhaps, the experts thought, containers might capture a small share of America's declining coastal shipping business. They were deemed impractical for most types of cargo, and for shipments to distant places, such as Asia. Absolutely no one anticipated that containerization would open the way to vast changes in where and how goods are manufactured, that it would provide a major impetus to transport deregulation, or that it would help integrate East Asia into a world economy that previously had centered on the North Atlantic. That containerization would eliminate the jobs of dock workers was clear from the start.